The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
True North on AM 1460 and FM 101.1. The Answer. Saturday mornings at 8 or via podcast anytime. Now, let's get into it with your host, Dirk Hobbs.
Good morning, Southern Colorado. Welcome to True North. It is Dirk Hobbs, your host, and we're glad you're here. While Mother Nature makes up her mind as to what she wants to do with our weather pattern. Last week we got a little of the white stuff, but man, welcome to the moisture. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And look, I hope you're having a great day, great kickoff to your weekend here. We're going to talk to one of the great leaders in the community this morning. But before we lift off, I want to make sure everybody's reminded again, we have a big election coming up, and we are electing our mayor, our 42nd mayor, for Colorado Springs. And a couple of debates have gone on so far, so be interested to hear what you guys have to say about what you're hearing, what you're thinking out there. And, you know, we're definitely at a pivotal point here. So listen to the candidates very, very carefully and make sure you're discerning what is pragmatism from hope and, you know, making sure that we're making informed decisions. So take a listen to these individual debates, read the newspapers very carefully, call the candidates, ask them questions. This is what they're there for. So they want to lead the community and, you know, there's some similarities and there's some definitely some differences. So make sure you take a close look at the election and make sure you participate. More than anything else, I want to encourage you to participate. So be an active and engaged citizen. You got your ballots last week in the mail, so it's pretty straightforward. I think Wayne Williams is number one. Yemi Mobilati is number two. And make your choice. So we had a great debate this past week up at the road at Chapel Hills, Pastor Steve Holt's church. So very honored to have been the moderator in that debate, so would love your feedback on that as well. But let's get on with it. We've got another great guest in the studio this morning, and she has definitely made an impact. And if you are in the business world, you probably know Lola, and certainly the Southern Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce. And so we're going to get to know her a little bit and then find out kind of what the chamber's doing. How members are participating, some of the pieces of legislation they're looking at as it relates to the business community, what's coming down the pipeline from Denver. And we're going to pull apart some of those things. And hopefully you walk away this morning a little more informed and aware of what's going on and how those items could potentially impact your business. So, but before we get started, I want a quick shout out to Ramos Law. Thank you very much for helping us meet these great people and putting them in the ears of our great listeners here on 1460 and 101.1 FM, the Answer. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Let's dive in. Lola Wolak is the Chief Executive Officer of the Southern Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce. You can find them online. Pretty straightforward to find them. We'll get to that in a minute. But I want to get to know you a little bit, Lola. Good morning.
Good morning, Dirk.
Glad to see you. Love the jacket, by the way.
Oh, thanks. You know? Thanks. You know, it's you know, we're celebrating 30 years, and so I figured we're gonna look rock stars at 30 years, right?
You definitely have that going on. So obviously we're listening to radio, so let me pull it out a little bit. So we've got, it's not really burgundy. It's well, kind of maybe, almost a cranberry look. It's a beautiful jacket anyway. So thank you for coming in, but let's get to know you a little bit. So where do you come from? Because you're not a native Coloradan.
No, I'm not. I'm not a native Coloradan at all. But you can call me a native. I've been here since 1998.
Okay.
So I've lived here.
All right.
Quite a long time.
Yes, you have.
Born and raised in Chicago.
Okay.
First generation born I'm the oldest out of five.
Okay.
Both sets of my grandparents actually came during World War II and left behind the Iron Curtain, Ukraine. So I speak Ukrainian fluently, grew up with the culture of being Ukrainian, did Ukrainian dancing, language, cooking, everything.
Wow.
So
you were the first generation of your family born in the United States?
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
Okay.
And the first one to go to college in my family as well.
Okay. And where was that?
I went to Lewis University back in Illinois.
Okay.
And studied, double majored. I had double majored in business administration and marketing.
Okay. Now, you put that to work in an early career in what sectors? Where were you employed?
Well, I put myself through college, paid for it. I worked in retail, became top sales in retail, was written up in Beauty Fashion magazine for all the work that I've done, went to New York, won numerous awards and all of that, and then started my own company at about age 20.
Mm-hmm.
I started in...
So you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yes. The blood of an entrepreneur at age 20. I started a marketing company and had contracts with various cosmetic companies.
Okay.
So I would hire the people that would promote the product in the department stores.
Right on.
So if you were at Neiman, Saks, Lord & Taylor, Nordstrom's, they would come up and say, would you like to sample this fragrance? Or would you like to sample that fragrance? I called them the Spritzer Girls, but they would actually promote the product. All of them worked for me, for my company.
Guerrilla marketing.
Yeah.
101.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is that where that started? Were the Spritzer Girls? That's pretty funny.
The Spritzer Girls, right?
So is that kind of where that concept started? Because that's, I mean, you find that everywhere.
Yeah.
Or is that just a company that you kind of set up?
You know, it's just a company I kind of set up. I came back. You know, it's kind of funny. I did all the great stuff of what an individual wants to do to be recognized, to produce results for a company.
Okay.
And I did that, and I didn't have quite my bachelor's degree at the time.
Sure.
I was 3 credit hours short of it, and I wanted to be promoted. Here, I've proven my success. Now, let's show me the money.
Promote put your money where your mouth is.
And they said, well, you still don't have your bachelor's degree at the time. And I said, really? Even though I've proven results to you, was top sales in the Midwest region of the country, you're not going to promote me? Well, then I wrote my first resignation letter, and I said, I'm going to start my own business.
Okay.
And I started the marketing business, and I called big fragrance companies, and I said, you know, I have a proven track record. I've been top sales in the Midwest region of the country. I know what it takes to sell the product. I know how to sell the image of the product and, the marketing of it, and I could train people to do that. And so I got Cosmere USA was one of the first ones that called me and wanted me to fill in all the Chicagoland stores, all the malls, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first contract. And I had housewives that were older than me working for me, which was kind of funny because they wanted a part-time job and they became 1099.
Yep.
And I paid them really good money and I'd make a big cut from the fragrance companies.
Good for you. Well, congratulations. So what aimed your compass out here to the West in Colorado? What brought you out here?
Well, I'm the kind of person that seeks opportunity depending on what is hot in any industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I got married. And my husband moved me to Peoria, Illinois, and I'm sorry, there's not enough malls in Peoria, Illinois for me to make a dent.
All right.
But I took my business and I had my siblings run my business in Chicago.
Okay.
So they've learned how to pay for their college education through running the business.
Beauty.
And then we saw some opportunity out here, which was jobs opportunity, and I started looking at telecommunication because telecommunications was coming up.
Interesting.
And so wireless communication. So I worked for Telephone Data Systems, which owned U.S. Cellular in the Midwest and in rural MSA markets.
Okay.
So I worked for them, launching their corporate accounts. So I do, 5,000 line deal for companies like, Caterpillar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked for them. And at this point in the West here, Sprint was launching.
Okay.
And they were just about ready to launch, and my husband had opportunities here for himself as well.
Now he's an attorney, right?
Yeah, he's an attorney. Yeah,
okay.
Intellectual property.
Got it.
Yeah, intellectual property. One of his clients was out here up in Woodland Park, and at that point, they were ready to bring in an in-house legal attorney counsel to handle their IP stuff as well as their contracts.
Perfect. Okay.
So I said, okay, but Woodland Park, a beautiful place, but still a little smaller of a community, so we landed on the northwest side of Colorado Springs.
Got it.
So I would do the commute up to Denver at the time when Sprint was there, and I managed the Rocky Mountain region for Sprint PCS, so handled quite a bit of all of the national accounts that distributed products as resellers.
Mm-hmm. That's a big job. So fast forward to the Women's Chamber. Is that something that just landed in your lap? Or real quick, what's the skinny on that one?
Well, you know, we were impacted by the Waldo Canyon fire. As you know, Mountain Shadows got hit hard.
Yes.
And I was on a business trip. My husband was here. I was on a business trip meeting with some executives to do business development consulting. Typically, companies would contract my company, my business. Mm-hmm. And I would go in and I would look at divisions that were underperforming.
Got it.
And when they were underperforming, they would show me the business. I would look at the business model and then I would go in there and say, they're like, can you turn it around? Can you get this to perform to several million or whatnot? And then I would show them where the gaps are at, what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. So I was on a business trip in Tampa when the fire ran through our neighborhood.
Oh, my.
And he, you know, he evacuated at the very last minute. But we had significant partial damage. We didn't lose our home.
Okay.
And I said, you know, it's time. We got to fix our home. And, you know, I've been blessed, knock on wood. We've been blessed. I said I could take a little bit of a sabbatical instead of traveling East Coast, West Coast, doing consulting work. I said, and see what organizations in need of leadership in Colorado mm-hmm. Springs. And if you remember, at that time when we had the Waldo Canyon fire, Mayor Bach was our mayor.
That's right, yeah.
First strong mayor for Colorado Springs. And then what we wound up doing is we actually decided to repair our house. And Bob Cutter told me, hey, you know, there's a women's chamber here in town that could use some leadership. And then the rest is history.
The rest is history. Thank you, Bob Cutter. All right. I know
Hi,
that
Bob
guy.
Out there.
Hi, Bob. Well, great. We're sitting here with Lola Woolock. She is the chief executive office of the Southern Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce. And let me tell you, folks, this organization is a very substantial organization. It's not just for women. We'll get into that. But it's predominantly attended to by women, and they have a policy group. They have obviously great networking events, great feature speakers, lots of great stuff going on over there. So we're going to get into that in the second quarter here, but I just wanted everybody to get to know Lola a little bit personally and how she got here. It's never a straight line, is it?
No.
You know, it's just like, you know, things just kind of fall in our laps and opportunities open, but we're glad they did. And we're going to be right back with Lola Woolock.
I got a nightmare phone call that no parent wants to receive.
Someone hit me going 60 miles an hour.
Dr. Ramos came highly recommended. When I showed him the x-rays, he immediately knew exactly what was wrong.
We've had a tremendous experience with Ramos Law. Really, I could not be happier.
Having the car accident was an accident. Finding Ramos Law was no accident.
Injured in a car accident? Ramos Law can help. RamosLaw.com.
And good morning. We're back here with Lola Woolock, Chief Executive Officer of the Colorado Springs, Southern Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce. Let me tell you how to get there real quick. It's pretty straightforward. It's scwcc.com. And take a look. There's tons of events. These events are extremely well attended, very well organized, and there's a lot of meat and potatoes when you go there. I mean, there are substantive conversations happening. Of course, the great networking aspect of being a part of a chamber. And there's just great access to information. And some of those things are what are the policies coming down from Denver and other places that are going to impact local business? And Lola and I are going to dive into that. But let's get to know your organization a little better, too. So Bob Cutter introduces you to the Women's Chamber and says, hey, there might be a great opportunity for you here. So as you first started looking under the hood, what did you see and what attracted you to the spot?
Well, the first thing when he mentioned that there's a women's chamber, I said, I've lived here for over 20-some years. I said, apparently they haven't attracted my attention.
Okay.
And so I right away met, I heard they were in need of an executive director. Mm-hmm. So I met with a couple key people from the board and they interviewed several different candidates. And I know when they interviewed me, they asked a lot of questions, but I'm kind of one of those visionary leaders and entrepreneurs. It's like, what is the mission? Where do you want to go as an organization? Yeah, right. I could do these tasks. Who can right. I could talk, publicly speak. I can do PowerPoint presentations. But where does the organization really want to go?
Good.
What level does the organization want to make impact in the community?
And what was the answer to that initially?
And I don't think there was a really good direction at that point in time,
okay.
you know? So I stepped in, and it was interesting. I stepped in. I took my husband and I. We checked into the Hilton mm-hmm. Garden Inn, and we lived there for 10 months
okay.
while we became the generals to oversee the repairs on our house after the Waldo Canyon fire. And I went to my first board meeting with the Women's Chamber.
Okay. And underwhelmed, overwhelmed? What did you think?
Well, you know, when you see an organization that's been around for 20 years, a nonprofit, you sometimes feel like, oh, they've been around 20 years. They should be already at a point of
a well-oiled machine.
Well-oiled
yeah.
machine. And,
yeah.
and unfortunately, I think this is a challenge for a lot of nonprofits. They sometimes don't run like businesses should be run,
okay.
you know? And so I said, okay. To me, at the level that I'm used to dealing with stuff at sea level, mm-hmm. I said, we've got a lot of work cut out here. You're still, in my opinion, in that startup phase and not really at that mature phase of a business.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, we're gonna run this nonprofit at a for-profit pace.
Okay.
And so a lot of changes were made immediately the first year. Our CPA pulled me aside and said, I don't care what they say about you, Lola. And I said, uh-oh, what do they say about me? I have never seen a business in a short period of time, 6 months, 9 months, probably about 9 months, that has a positive cash flow like you've been able to do to turn this organization around.
Terrific.
Even some of my for-profit businesses don't have that cash flow.
Nice.
So I think business sense and understanding how to run a business mm-hmm. is critical, especially when you're in a leadership role. And so we started rolling up our sleeves, making a lot of significant changes. We wanted to make sure that in the community, there was a level of credibility for us as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have been just an organization that really didn't have that, it takes time to build that credibility
mm-hmm.
and actually get the credibility and be an organization where you're making an impact in the community. So within about a year's time or so, we started being recognized by the Colorado State Chamber and the Association of Chamber Executives as a top performing chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And we started growing. And then we got involved in helping making economic impact in this community. I took the time to bring Southwest Airlines executives to meet with Mayor Southers in 2016.
Outstanding. Yep.
To replant that seed, because I know this
yep.
has happened many times. And we worked really closely on that because my colleagues up in Denver, the Women's Chamber in Denver, you know, worked with Southwest Airlines. And we used those relationships to make those strategic moves happen.
Absolutely.
And so that was important. We worked on smart city initiatives with US Ignite, brought over $5 million of autonomous testbed vehicles into Fort Carson.
Right on.
And worked on that and worked very closely with El Pomar on that. So we took valuable projects that we saw an opportunity to move our community forward
mm-hmm.
In growth and to provide access for our members. And everything else.
And when did you pick up the mantle there? So what year was that?
In 2015.
2015?
2015. And I said this was going to only be
yeah.
a one-year gig.
A one-year
I wanted
gig.
To get there. And then, actually, the board of directors wanted me to sign a five-year contract. And I said, no, we're going to go year to year to year.
Okay.
And I saw a lot of opportunities. So I said, we'll go to year to year. And then, unfortunately, the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
And a lot of organizations you know, froze.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know how to handle it. And at that point, this might sound a little bit sick, but at that point, I got re-energized. I said, great,
okay.
finally, a challenge. Because once you get the organization to roll in, like an oiled machine, a good oiled machine,
right.
then, you know, I'm one of those people that seeks adventure and challenges and all that. And I was ready to talk about preparing for some succession planning and stuff like that. But then the pandemic happened and I said, ooh,
yeah.
I know what it's going to take for us to get through here. So I will just say, to me, as an organization, if you can be involved in any organization, you got to see how those organizations survive, not only in the best of times,
mm-hmm.
but also the worst of times. And the pandemic is definitely that. And I think I told our board of directors, you'll be able to see which which organizations and which leaders rise to the occasion during those challenging times.
And those businesses that you shepherd, mm-hmm. you know, through the chamber as members, they needed you more than ever at that point because the same thing happened to them.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You guys imparted tools and thought processes to help them navigate those troubled waters because that was a difficult time.
It was a very difficult time. And we worked with the county that was receiving federal funds. We said, here's what we're doing to help these businesses survive and thrive during that time. And here's some things that we can offer as far as grant opportunities for these small businesses. So we kind of led some initiatives on that and worked closely with the county on that.
Yep.
And as an organization, our bottom line, surprisingly, when you looked at our profit and loss statement, in 2019, we thought, hey, this was great. And then 2020 hit and everybody's like, you know, we had this mantra, Vision 2020, we're going to really expand. Mm-hmm. And then the bottom fell out with the pandemic.
Right.
Did we lose revenue in some cases? Yes, we did. But our bottom line showed an increase of over 127% during the pandemic. So
impressive.
That shows you that we know what we're doing and we know how to run a business. And I think it's really important for us to lead by example for our businesses.
Correct. And the folks are voting with their feet because they're coming into your corridors. They're becoming members and they're becoming active members. They're not just passive members. You got a lot of people out there who are you know, they're speakers, they're promoters, they do all kinds of things. I mean, run the spectrum of the business continuum. But folks just don't come in and show up. I mean, there's more to this than just networking.
Oh, yes, there is.
Yeah.
There is.
Unpack a little bit of that.
You know, I think, you know, we have to bring relevant resources. And I kind of always say we're the chamber that is the concierge chamber. And when I say concierge, is we connect the dots to find the resources that a business needs. You know, right now we're working with several different businesses. And if they start a business, they need to know that there's state and tax incentives. And before you sign a lease on anything, in order to get those state, you need to make sure you do things in the proper fashion.
Mm-hmm.
There's enterprise zones in our community. You need to know what advantages those are for a business. And I think it's the responsibility of us as a chamber, the Women's Chamber, to be able to guide our members through that and where they could get additional grant funding.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a bonus year for you guys because this is year number 30 for the Women's Chamber, right?
It is.
Okay. And what are you going to do to celebrate?
Oh, we've got a lot planned. We're going to have a big party, number one, huge party for our members and non-members. I also want to say that, you know, even though we're the Southern Colorado Women's Chamber, I always say if you employ women, you sell to women, and women make up over 50% of the workforce, you should be part of this organization. You should give your women employees, your women leaders, the opportunity to have a safe place where they can network, find mentors, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this 30th anniversary, we're going to be doing some exciting stuff. We're going to unveil new benefits for our members.
Excellent.
We provide our members commercials included in the package because of our buying power and our visibility in Southern Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be other additional benefits from health concierge, discounted services, to you name it. We'll get dental. We'll get any services that small businesses need to survive. We will have it for them.
That's outstanding. So you're probably going to get your money back on whatever you invest in membership over at the Southern Colorado Women's Chamber. You can find them, for starters, at scwcc.com. And if you go to their contact page, you'll find the info at scwcc.com. Also, the phone number 719-442-2007. And you either speak to Lola or Julie over there, who's amazing at helping you find out exactly what the organization is all about and where you can start to plug in. So don't be an island unto yourself out there. This is an amazing group of women and other business leaders who are connecting on a very regular basis. They're identifying issues that not only impact them from a business, purely pragmatic business standpoint, but also from the legislative standpoint, which is something I want to dive into in our third quarter. So, Lola, stick around. But before we go, we do this with all our guests. As you're driving around town and you're feeling, okay, I need a little jolt here. I need some energy. I need to fuel my tank. What is your total goob out jam song?
You know what it is, don't you?
I know what it is. I want you to tell them.
Kings and Queens.
Ava Max.
Ava Max.
We're
it's
back,
a good one.
We're back in a minute with Lola.
The news and events that matter to you. AM 1460 and FM 101.1. The Answer.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to True North. I'm your host, Dirk Hobbs. It is Saturday morning. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm hanging out with Lola Wolak. She is the CEO of the Southern Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce, an outstanding business leader in the community. You see her everywhere. And she is heading up an organization, this Women's Chamber. I've been to several meetings. I know my wife, Marquesa, is intimately involved with them. She is the MC for a lot of their events. But she, Lola, has really crafted an organization with substance here. And I want to draw your attention to their website initially. It's SCWCC.com. And it's not .org, it's .com. And then you, of course, can reach out to them at info@scwcc.com, and you can contact them at 442-2007. Of course, that's the 719 area code, and you're either going to pick up and hear from Lola herself, or you'll meet Julie, who runs the administrative side of things over there. So anyway, we got to know Lola a little bit in the first quarter, and then we're starting to get to know the organization. Now I want to start to go into where the rubber meets the road. And one of those elements is your public policy committee. This is a very substantive group. They look at bills and both House and Senate bills coming down the pike from Denver. And they pay very close attention to the language that's going on in there. And one of the things that, well, first, unpack the committee a little bit and how big they are and what's their primary role.
Yeah, the Public Policy Committee, we have several committees within the chamber, and each focuses on certain things. But it's very important that the Women's Chamber does advocacy on behalf and be the voice of small business and business in general, and women in business as well.
Absolutely.
And so our public policy probably has about 16 people on it. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they look at legislative bills that are in the process of coming down the pipeline from the Capitol. And I will say lately they have been really busy because a lot of the bills that are coming down, Dirk, are not business friendly. So In ways that Colorado is very enticing to invite businesses, and we have all these wonderful state incentives and local incentives for businesses to come here, my concern as we look forward is what's going to happen when the businesses, once they get here, find out it's too costly for them to do business in Colorado.
Interesting.
And so you can talk about business expansion here. You could talk about businesses relocating here. But then the biggest thing is retention of business. And when they find out that some of this legislative stuff, which the bulk of it coming down the pipeline, is not supportive for businesses, it's going to be costly for businesses, some businesses will look to leave. And we already have a couple of businesses that I'm aware of that are not expanding here because they see what's coming down legislatively and it's not pro-business. And so they're moving to other states.
Good grief.
And we don't want that to happen.
That's right? Yeah.
And we don't, we want it to be, you know, not over regulated regarding doing business operations here. So our committee, our public policy committee, really looks into that. And what winds up happening is they do the footwork. And at times that we've testified at the Capitol on bills, you know, that were not good, and we have a voice at the Capitol doing that. Mm-hmm. We partner with other chambers who see the same sentiment on that. And, you know, literally there's bills right now that we have all the chamber executives in the state of Colorado collaborating on Monday, going through bills on an all-hands meeting and saying, hey, this is not good, this is not good. And each of our chambers all have an arm, either it's a government affairs arm or a public policy arm. And then we are writing and getting that information out there, testifying against it.
So one of those bills, Senate Bill 23-105, measures to ensure equal pay for equal work. This is one of those constrictive
Yes,
pieces
it is.
Of legislation.
And I kind of chuckle a little bit on some of this because I love the way those things happen. They title it that it sounds like, well, we all want
this
that, right?
Very altruistic. Yeah.
We all want equal pay for equal work. Who doesn't, right?
Of course.
Or we all want affordable housing, or we all want. But the title of it is sometimes deceptive until you get into reading the bill and the outcomes. And in this case, this would truly harm small business and especially set back, you know, women-owned businesses as mm-hmm. well.
So unpack some of those things. So what the bill requires the director to investigate complaints or other leads concerning wage inequality. Things like this. I mean, tell me where the red flags start to pop up for you specifically.
Well, there's several different red flags. And, you know, some of it is because it really creates ambiguity around collective bargaining agreements.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. It doesn't really address the ongoing issue of Colorado workers being excluded from the national remote labor markets. And, you know, we're finding just a lot of things happening where you have women who have made up a remote work market, you know, from full or hybrid in their position. So there's a lot of things within these bills you really need to look at and understand to determine whether or not it's going to be good for business.
Now, you mentioned offline that 49.3% of the women are kind of conditioned to work in the remote workforce. Is that
mm-hmm.
That's
correct. In 2020, 49.3% of the women employed had a remote component, for sure.
Okay, mm-hmm. And only 35.5% of men.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So there's one disadvantage. So, but this bill specifically, let's dive in a little bit deeper. So the cons of this, according to the actual bill summary, job posting and some promotions will be required to be minutely details under threat of legal action will increase difficulty of internal promotions, creates ambiguity surrounding collective bargaining. That's mm-hmm. one of the things you sent up.
Yep.
Does not address the ongoing issue of Colorado workers being excluded from national remote labor markets. What does that mean exactly to you as a women's chamber?
Well, you know, there's a lot around the way these are worded.
Okay.
And if the state
finds a pay discrepancy and declares a gender motive, the employer must pay 6 years of back pay.
Yeah.
That's excruciating.
Mm-hmm. It's a cost to doing business and for the small business. It is excruciating. So now you're adding so many other.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's punitive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
yes.
So if you're a business organization and you find yourself unwittingly weaving into that lane, I mean, you've got a serious problem here.
Yes.
All right. So that's what you guys that's some of what you guys are tackling.
So what we do, those issues, those cons and the business impacts, of course, all of those things, our public policy committee, what they do is they put those things together. They put the pros, the cons, and then they provide our board of directors a suggested either to support, oppose, abstain, and then we as an organization take a stance on it.
Got it. Okay. And you guys are opposing this at this point, or where's the organization
yes.
on this now? Okay.
We're opposing this.
And it's because it's just not employer friendly.
Correct.
Is that what it comes down to?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So what other components are out there? Because this is like I said, this is very punitive when it comes to if you're a business owner and you're looking down the barrel of this particular gun aimed at you. I mean, that doesn't make Colorado an employer friendly state.
No.
Why are we doing this? Why would a legislature want to do this? Because we are doing so well down here for so long,
mm-hmm.
right? We've taken these last several years under Souther's leadership, under your leadership at the Women's Chamber and others all over through the state. I mean, we've had a string of years that were just booming from an economic development standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just going to go ahead and shoot ourselves in the foot and say, okay, employers, yeah, here we go. Here's some punitive measures for you if you don't fall in line with this particular protocol. That's very frustrating for me. I would imagine it is for other businesses. So how are you counseling members?
We notify members. We have a newsletter that goes out to our members. At times, at certain events, if there is something that really needs a voice from our members to assist us at testifying, because you could testify. You don't always have to go to the Capitol and drive to Denver and do that. You could remotely testify. So we provide the resources for our members to remotely testify. We tell them to call their elected officials, if, who they voted for, because you know, ultimately, they're accountable to the people. And if we voted them in office, we really need them to be a voice on that.
Yep.
And we did have another bill. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but we actually testified at the Capitol. We waited hours to do it. It was during the pandemic. So it was remote test. We were remotely testifying, and it was for independent contractors. So it was a... This bill particularly was telling people that if you hire independent contractors, and it impacted the construction business really big, and you would be liable for the contractors that were contracted by. Yes, it was insane. Mm-hmm. How can you control the employees of another business? You can't. And so from a legal standpoint, the cost that would require for insurance for a construction company to be able to operate would be costly.
Prohibitive. Yeah.
It just wouldn't be. So, you know, when government, and I think government has a role. I'm one of those people that they have a role, but they shouldn't be overreaching. And that's the problem when you get with some of this stuff.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, we appreciate your policy, public policy committee, and the work that they're doing. Again, folks, I would take a careful listen here, not only to this piece of legislation, but also what the Women's Chamber is doing in general, because they're keeping their eye on a lot of these bills that are impacting primary employers as well as small business owners. And these are a big deal. We got to pay attention, folks, because that legislature, they can be pretty sneaky up there and hide behind a lot of words and jargon. So appreciate this. If you want to take a look at this particular bill, you can look on our bill tracker. It's SB23-105, Measures to Ensure Equal Pay for Equal Work, and do a deep dive into that. Anyway, we're going to get back here with Lola Wallach in just a minute.
One critical fact that needs to be established is that your injuries were caused by the accident incident you were involved in. For your case to have merit, it must be made clear that had you not been in the crash in the first place, you wouldn't have been hurt. This is one of the most important steps in the entire process, and leaving it to anyone but an expert is a serious mistake. Ramos Law, doctor, lawyer, partner, combining medical and legal knowledge for better outcomes for you.
All right, we're back here in the fourth quarter. I'm your host, Dirk Hobbs. We're here with Lola Wallach over at the Southern Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce, an amazing organization. It's not just a networking group. There's a lot of substantive material coming out of a lot of the committees and subcommittees within that organization. Check them out online, SCWCC.com. And check out not only their programs, but some of their committees. If you're a small business owner or an executive or a leader in one of your organizations, I highly recommend you take a good look at the Women's Chamber here in this community. They have a public policy committee comprised of about 16 people that are keeping their eyes on the ball on what the good folks up in Denver are doing. As it relates to employers. And there's a great article in the Gazette that talks about this last particular bill that we covered, SB23-105. And it is not favorable, folks. So we need to pay careful attention. Call your lawmaker and say, no, kill it. This bill will not stand because it's not advantageous for employers at any level. It's quite punitive, in fact. So all this stuff in the name of trying to be, you know, do the right thing, be inclusive, be, you know, make sure all that gender equality is there. but at the expense of business owners, many of them, most of them female, who are running these businesses, this is not advantageous. So take a close look at that one. There's other things on your docket, Lola, this year. You've got your 30th anniversary for the Women's Chamber. This year, you're celebrating all year long, and you're also taking on some of the other big activities that are going on in the state, like affordable housing. So where do you want to start with that? Let's take on your 30th year, because this you've been here since 2015 as CEO.
Yep.
But now, I mean, you guys are you're getting into that strong operational mode, right?
Yeah, we are. We are. And in so many ways, you know, one of the things that we were very fortunate to receive, we actually put in an application, and it was a 5-month application process with the Colorado Economic Development Commissioners. And it was an enterprise zone project. So just last May, the Colorado Economic Development Commissioners unanimously gave us a 5-year enterprise zone project. We are one of only 2 chambers in the state who actually has received that.
Congratulations.
So, yes, thank you. So what does that mean? What does that mean to people in the community? What does that mean to our members, to the business community? If you invest in a sponsorship with the Women's Chamber and you invest in doing sponsors with us and supporting us, you can receive almost up to 25% tax credit.
Perfect.
Which is huge.
That's helpful.
Which is huge. Yep. And we also have a nonprofit arm, which is our 501c3. And that arm, we're growing that arm. We're going to eventually, by the end of this year into first quarter next year, provide grants for women-owned businesses. But currently, our nonprofit arm provides scholarships for women in our community.
Right on.
And we've provided scholarships for the State Pikes Peak State College, as well as UCCS.
Okay. And your calendar of events is throughout the year. I mean, it's a
yes.
solid calendar. I know you've got a new magazine coming out this quarter at some point, the Women's Annual Magazine. Mm-hmm. You guys are getting close on that one?
Yep. That's good. That should be out maybe in about a week or so, a week or two.
Awesome.
Yep.
So membership, what do you recommend? I mean, I'm a small business owner. I might have 2 employees. I mean, what are you recommending? How do you get folks to turn their head towards the Southern Colorado Women's Chamber and engage?
We have various different membership levels depending on what you want to receive as far as visibility and exposure for your business.
Uh-huh.
Some of them come with tickets to some of our luncheons, our events, our workshops,
very
educational
well attended,
workshop.
By the way.
Yeah, very well attended. We have over 100 people at our luncheons on a regular basis. So, and then our major events like accolades where we recognize a female business leader of the year, a young professional of the year, a minority-owned business of the year, an entrepreneur of the year. We filled a house with 600-plus people.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. So we're not this little women's group by no means.
Right,
We're a powerhouse in many ways. But if you're trying to join as a member, there are various different membership levels. Solo entrepreneurs start at $350 for the year. $350 for the year, and we give you 30-second commercials on top of it that we pay for.
That's awesome.
Pretty incredible. That pays for the membership and then some.
There's the value right there.
But if you have a couple employees, then you're talking about, you know, a professional membership level,
mm-hmm.
and then could go up from $500 and all the way up to our investor levels.
Got it. Okay. And next is that accolades lunch you just accolades event. That's a big deal. I mean, you fill the house every year. This is a must attend event. What's your next one coming up?
Our luncheon coming up will be on the third Tuesday of May. A really great one that's going to be coming. May 16th. Yeah, May 16th. Yep.
Yep, at 11 o'clock.
Yep.
And where are you guys this year?
We're actually at the Garden of the Gods Club.
Okay.
Yeah.
The newly renovated. Garden of the Gods Club.
Yes.
It is spectacular.
We have 2 remarkable women running the Garden of the Gods Club. So
that's right. Brenda Smith, Judy Mackey.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely.
On.
So they're big sponsors of the Women's Chamber and really involved in our organization. And we're glad to have that partnership with them.
So on your website, you show your resources. You got job listings, public affairs, using your profile, and then that enterprise zone incentive that you just talked about as well. Those commercials you run, that's pretty cool. That's the first time I think I've heard that one. So who's that in partnership with?
That one is in partnership. We have a great strategic partnership with iHeart.
Okay.
Media, and we do that. And so we do it one time. It's not every year. It's if you come in and you're a member for the first time, it's a way for us to help jump launch your business.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could have 30-second commercials customized for your business. And then afterwards, if you want to continue that advertising and marketing for your business, then we have an exclusive discount through them for our members.
Outstanding. Okay. Well, we got about 5 minutes left, and I want to make sure we give you the stage here to make your case for membership and then kind of what's going on, what's around the corner for you. But before we do, I want to tackle that. You and I kind of brushed on it real quick, that affordable housing piece of legislation that's going on right now. Where does the Women's Chamber stand on that particular issue?
Don't even get me started on that one. That's probably the most horrible legislative issue there. And again, you know, people need to keep in mind, people will title it affordable housing. And I truly believe in affordable housing. While we're at,
right.
My family, my husband is involved in Habitat for Humanity. We do a lot of different philanthropic stuff in the community. But this bill takes away control for property owners. There's no zoning on any of it. And I'll be honest with you, one of the biggest investments that most people have is their property.
Of course.
And to me, it's huge overreach, government overreach. They could come and interrupt the sale of your home. There could be no zoning anywhere. So, you know, I was on an all hands call with my chamber executives throughout the state. And I, as we were getting this information from the Colorado State Chamber and their government affairs, and we were having a discussion with everybody, mm-hmm. I said, this can tank property values, everybody's property values. And they said, Lola, you're absolutely right.
This measure says it would provide $13 million to public-private collaboration to help develop affordable workforce housing on state-owned land. But it exceeds that.
It exceeds that.
Okay. And this is where the small print gets
Nobody
in.
Sees that, right?
Okay. And we want to make sure that we're getting folks paying attention to the language in each of these bills. So you can find more information on Southern Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce website. That's scwcc.com. Lola, I want to give you the floor and make your best pitch for becoming a member at the Women's Chamber, because it's a great organization.
Thank you, Dirk. Thank you for having me today. This has been a lot of fun. And, you know, the Women's Chamber is an inclusive organization. We have not only just women on our board of directors, but we have men serving in our organization as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe in supporting women's success, whether it's a woman-owned business or whether it's women in leadership in business or our community, then you should support the Women's Chamber, because we provide the resources and the and connect the dots and the relationships, the strategic relationships, to help businesses thrive. We are 100% about making sure your business thrives.
Awesome. Well, you got First Friday coming up, May 5th at the Space Foundation. You got meet and greets. You got one Thursday, April 27th, so next week, over at the, let's see, where is that one? Is that at your
our
establishment?
Office.
At
yep.
your office?
Yep.
And where
at
are
our
those
office.
Offices? Where are those offices
at 2424 Garden of the Gods
okay.
Road.
So that's formerly for you folks that have been here. That was the big telecom building.
Yeah, MCI WorldCom headquarters.
MCI
yep.
WorldCom.
Yep.
Okay, so beautiful offices, by the way. And you've got other events coming up. You got Young Professionals Coffee Meetup. You've also got, of course, your benefits lunch. Of course, your big accolades meeting. When are your accolades? Are they in the fall?
Accolades will be August 15th.
Okay.
August 15th. And we do have a workshop I do want to mention out there. If you're a business owner, and there is actually some workshop that we're doing for ERC, Employee Retention Credits.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that?
No.
Yes. So we try to be on the top of everything that impacts businesses. And so this would be a good workshop to attend, because there might be money left on the table that the government owes you regarding employee retention credits.
Right. And we don't want to leave that money.
We don't want to leave that money on the
we
table.
We are giving them plenty.
Yes.
And they are sometimes just taking it. All right. Lola Wolak, Chief Executive Officer for the Southern Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce. It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Please come back.
I will.
All right. And we'll unpack some other things. But folks, this time I'm going to leave you with an oldie but a goodie from the 80s. This is Yes's Owner of a Lonely Heart.
Move yourself. You always live your life, never thinking of the future. listening to True North with your host, Dirk Hobbs. Saturday mornings at 8 on AM 1460 and FM 101.1. The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.